Okay, we're going to start a kufyud bet amud bet, right where the Gemara starts. What I did is I made a sheep for yesterday for the Mishnah. It was a very long, complicated Mishnah. Not super complicated, but based on, you know, you can kind of see the structure with the chart, and if you want to look through the chart after, you can kind of follow along the different options. It's basically the same case with all different permutations of who's a pikeach, who's a cheresh, what happens. You know, the basic premise is being, number one, like we've seen, the cheresh can't get divorced, or cheresh can't divorce anyone. If right, the cheresh and is the marriage is only derabanan, and since the marriage is derabanan, and if there's another marriage that's deoraita, then there's a conflict here. There's a choti shami derabanan, so you can't marry. On the other hand, it's not enough to pater from yibum, and therefore the woman would have to do chalitza. So, you know, let's say there was a pikeach who falls to yibum to when her sister, the chereshet, is married to her yabam. So all different possibilities in how this plays itself out. Okay, we're going to start with the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama. He starts talking about distinctions here. He says, Ma'ishna cheresh v'chereshet, detekinu lehu rabbana nisun. The rabbis consider their marriage a marriage, right? Because we already said, a cheresh, a shoteh, katan. Basically, cheresh, shoteh, and katan are often in the same category. And here we're going to see that there's some differences between them. So why is a cheresh's marriage, considered a marriage? U'mayishna de shoteh, right? Why is it different from a shoteh? Okay? U'shoteh, delotkinu lehu rabbana nisun. Right, that the rabbis didn't consider their marriage a good marriage. Titania, shoteh v'katan shenasu nashim v'metu, nishotehem p'turot min ha'chalitza u'min ha'yibum. This is how the Gemara knows that a cheresh or a chereshet, their marriage is considered enough of a marriage to be m'chayev in yibum. And that's the cases we saw. The Mishnah assumed that there is a chi of yibum, right? And then it talked about, well, you can't do chalitza, right? But there is a chi of yibum. You're not allowed to do chalitza because they can't speak. But were they allowed to, right, they would be chayv and chalitza, and they're certainly chayv and yibum. So now, well, why, here it says in a braita that a shoteh and a katan, if they die, their wives don't have to do yibum or chalitza. They could just go marry anyone they want. There is no chiyuv because they don't consider the marriage a marriage. So what's the difference? So they say, cheresh v'chereshet dekaima takanta derabanan, tekinu lehu rabanan disuin. Shoteh v'sh, what is this shoteh v'shoteh? So first we're going to distinguish between the cheresh and the shoteh. The assumption is the shoteh is not someone who's of sane mind. Now, someone who's not of sane mind can't marry, can't have a relationship with someone, basically. They're not capable of a relationship. That's what it means. Ein adam darim nachash b'kifah achad. A man can never live with a snake. So they're saying, likewise, a man can't live with someone or a woman can't live with someone who's not of sane mind. And therefore, there's no point for the rabbis to say your marriage is a good marriage. But if it was the case of a cheresh, so a cheresh can have a relationship with a person. You might not be able to speak or hear, but there's other ways of having a relationship with someone. And therefore, they said, in that case, in order to make sure that the marriage stays, right, we're going to say that this counts as a marriage. Whereas the shoteh, we're not going to consider it a marriage. Okay, after we learn some more of the sugya, I want to talk a little bit about nowadays and shoteh and things like that. We'll get to it in a little bit. Okay, so now, what about the katan now? Ma'ishna katan delo tekinu rabbanan nisuin. So what are they? The Gemara first says this. V'cheresh tekinu le rabbanan nisuin. Right, so, oh, sorry. Ma'ishna katan and cheresh, right? Why is there a difference? The cheresh is nisuin and the katan isn't nisuin. So cheresh de lo ati lechal nisuin tekinu rabbanan nisuin. Katan de ati lechal nisuin lo tekinu rabbanan nisuin. So they say a cheresh will never get to nisuin on its own, whereas the katan will eventually get there. We've seen this distinction before, right? So since the katan will eventually get there, the rabbis didn't see a need to make their marriage now a good marriage. Barek tana de ati lechal nisuin utkinu rabbanan nisuin. But what about a ketana? We saw that the marriage of a ketana does count. In other words, now we see that there's a distinction between the marriage of a katan, which we say if a katan marries someone, the rabbis don't consider it marriage, in which case the wife is patur from chalitza and yibum. But a ketana who's married, we saw before, if you marry a ketana, right, we've been talking about this all along, the marriage is considered a marriage. So what's the difference between a ketana and a katan? So now you're going to see, hatam shaloyin haguba min hag hefker. They were worried if they didn't consider her marriage a good marriage, people will take advantage of her. Okay, here we're going to see a whole bunch of things where they're worried about people taking advantage of women, and therefore, for the women specifically, they needed to institute, they had to consider the marriage a good marriage. But there was no reason, obviously, the flip side wouldn't be the case for a man. There was obviously not as much, there's not as much taking advantage of men than women in general. Okay. This is a good question now. Why do we allow the ketana to do miyun? You know, if we say, what's this whole thing of miyun that we've learned? Since the marriage is only drabana, and if she wants to get out of it, she could just say, oh, I really wasn't interested in this, and she can get out of it. So now they say, so what's the difference between a ketana that we allow her to do miyun? We don't allow her to do miyun, right? We've only talked about miyun in the context of a ketana. We've never talked about miyun in the context of a chereshet. And that's for good reason, because there is no din of miyun for a chereshet. So why is that? So they say, we're worried, and here again, we're talking about people taking advantage, we're worried that if we allowed her to do miyun, people would never want to marry her. Okay? Because already she's disadvantaged, she's a chereshet, right? So already people are going to be less inclined to marry her. So if we allow miyun, the other issue is, I don't think it says this here explicitly in the Gemara, but if you think about it, right, Rashi says it, that what's the difference between allowing miyun and a chereshet and a ketana case? If you marry a ketana, so you know that there's a certain time period where she'll be allowed to do miyun. She'll be able to refuse to be married to you. But at a certain point, that will end. A chereshet, since she's always considered not fully bardat, therefore, you're basically, if you have miyun, it means she can at any point in your marriage, right, 30 years down the road, she can say, oh, I'm not interested in being married to you, and just walk out. So that's, no one would ever want to marry someone knowing that that would be the case, that forever they can always just walk out one day, right? Now, while it's true, a man can kick the wife out with a get, but a get is a much more complicated procedure than miyun, right? Miyun is like, oh, sorry, I'm out of here. So it doesn't make any sense to create a takana like that for a chereshet, right, who's going to be like that forever. Continuing to ask about distinctions. Umayisha ketana da'achla b'truma, umayishna chereshet de'lo achla b'truma. Here we have a case of a ketana marries a kohen. She is allowed to eat truma, but a chereshet is not allowed to eat truma. Ditnan, how do we know this? He'i Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgida ala chereshet, okay, he gave testimony about two things. The first one's not relevant to our issue. The second one is hachereshet shehisia aviha yotza beget. If her husband, if her father marries her off, she's allowed to get divorced with a get, and she can get divorced with a get. Meaning, her marriage is a good. If her father married her when she was a ketana, just like he marries off a regular ketana, and it has a doraita status, so this also has doraita status. Second thing he says, and this is our issue, okay? So here we see explicitly that the ketana does get to eat truma, but the chereshet doesn't. So what's the reason? In other words, if you have a cheresh who's married to a gdola, right, he can feed her truma. But a cheresh that's married to a chereshet, what's the issue? A cheresh that's married to a chereshet. One second, I need to just double check one thing before I continue. Right, a chereshet, right? The Gemara is going to get into it. Chereshet, I'll ask the b'truma, one second. Okay, the Gemara is going to get into this, so let's just hold off on it for 1 minute, okay? So now, the assumption is that the chereshet, we make a gzera, that a chereshet can't eat truma if a pikeach, right? A pikeach is married to a chereshet. In theory, he should allow her to eat truma. But they made a gzera for the case of where Cheresh is married to a Cheresh. Okay, we don't know yet why this is Asur, okay? But we're going to get there. So the Pikeach can't give to a Cheresh a Truma just so that we don't mess up, and a Cheresh it would give to a Cheresh a Truma. So then they said, V'lecho, katan ochel nevelotu. Now, why don't you look at this as a case of a katan ochel nevelotu? What does that mean? a katan, if a katan eats nevela, the Beit Din isn't going to get involved. This is like juveniles, right? They don't get punished. They're children. If they do things wrong, the Beit Din doesn't come and force them not to do it. Okay? So if a katan was eating nevela, so we would leave it. So since you see a cheresh and a cheresh are not bardat, like a katan, why don't we just leave them? Like if he starts eating, feeding a truma, so we should just leave. So what do they say? No, it's gzera shema ya'achil cheresh bepikachat. So they say, no, you're right that if the cheresh were eating the truma and she wasn't allowed to, so it would be like a katan. But we make a gzera because of the case of a cheresh with a pikachat. In other words, erase what we'd said here. It's not because a pikach can't feed a chereshet because of the case that a cheresh might feed a pikachat. We're not worried if the cheresh feeds a chereshet because, okay, she makes a mistake. It's not critical. She's not bardat. But we are going to make a gzera of a pikach and a chereshet because maybe then we'll get confused and think that a cheresh can feed a pikachat. And that can't work. Why can't it work? Now, this is obvious because it's a marriage d'rabbanan. And a marriage d'rabbanan can't allow someone to eat truma d'oraita, right? Yeah. Truma's d'oraita. We can't have a marriage d'rabbanan and come and do truma d'oraita. So now what do they say? B'cheresh b'pikachat, nami lecho b'truma d'rabbanan. Maybe you should allow her to eat truma d'rabbanan. Things that are considered truma only on d'rabbanan level, well then she should be allowed to eat it because it's a marriage d'rabbanan. So they say, no, gzera dilma ati la'ochla b'truma d'oraita. We don't allow her to eat truma d'rabbanan because maybe she'll eat truma d'oraita. She won't know the distinction exactly. Okay, so that's our distinction, basically. So we don't allow a chereshet to eat truma, okay? Whereas a ktana can eat truma, but a chereshet can't. Just as a gzera, that we shouldn't allow a cheresh, whose marriage is only d'rabbanan, and allow it to feed a pikachat, who would be forbidden to eat truma d'oraita. Umayshna ktana di eat laktuba, umayshna chereshet to late laktuba. Now we're going to see a really interesting halacha. A ktana gets a ktuba, just like a gdola, right? If she gets married, the husband promises her money in the event of divorce or a death. But a chereshet doesn't get a ktuba. If a man marries a chereshet, a deaf woman, a deaf mute, she doesn't get a ktuba, right? I'm just reminding you, we've been talking all along about a deaf mute because it has to be someone who also can't speak. That was the whole thing about chalitza here. If they just can't hear, so they are sometimes considered that they are bardat. They just can't hear. But if they can't hear and can't speak, then they're considered they're not bardat. So now, why doesn't she get a ketubah? De'im came, we saw this at the top of the daf, me'mane v'lo naspela. We're worried that people won't want to marry her. So it's like an incentive for men to marry chereshet. We say you don't have to promise her money, ketubah money. It's interesting because the ketubah is meant to protect the woman. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we want to encourage people to marry her, so we're not going to give her a ketubah, which is in the end going to protect her, right? It's like a both sides, really. It's protecting her on the one hand, although it's not protecting her on the other hand. Ditnan, but now they want to know, ketana menalan eat like ketubah. How do we know that we give a ketana a ketubah? Ditnan, hamemeenet v'ashnia v'ailonit ein lahem ketubah. Aval yotza beget uktana yesh la ketuba. Okay, so what is this? I think the truth is, I think the Mishnah ends with ein lahen ketuba. The Mishnah just says that the mima'enet, I just want to double check that I'm right about that. The Mishnah says, I think it's a good question. I don't know if it's the end of the Mishnah or not, but anyway, you can derive it from the Mishnah if it's not. The Mishnah says, if you do miun, okay, what's a ketubah? In the event of divorce or death, I'll give you this money. If the woman leaves the marriage and not the man, right, she says, oh, I'm out of here. She obviously doesn't get a ketubah, right? The ketubah is the husband promised her, if I divorce you. What if she's a shnia? What's a shnia? Remember we learned about shniot, which are arayot de rabbanan, okay? So any arayot de rabbanan, if you were to marry someone, so she doesn't get a ketubah because she did navera and they made a knas for her that you marry. Obviously, he also did navera, but they're kones the woman. And an ilonit, remember, this is because she can't have children. And he married her thinking she could have children. So once we find out that she can't have children, he said, oh, it was a mekach ta'ud. I never really meant it. So those women don't have a ketubah. But if she would be yotza beget, or she's a ketana, then, right, a regular ketana who doesn't get divorced, then she would have a ketubah. the chereshet minalan de late lektuba. How do we know that a chereshet doesn't have a ktuba? So, right, you understand they're bringing, the Gemara is asking all these questions, and then they're bringing Tanaitic sources, right, from before, right, the Tanaim come before the Emoraim, to support their what they're saying. Right, at least the reasoning, no, but the facts. They're bringing the Braitot and the Mishnayot to support the facts.
I think we're I think we're just passing over something that's very important too quickly, and that is that I'm not so sure it protects her to not have a ketubah, because if you, I mean, it's very nice, but people just marry her easily and have nothing to lose to leave her.
Right.
So I don't think it so protects her.
And what about
That's why I said. I said that on the one hand, it protects her because it allows her to get married. On the other hand, it doesn't protect her.
It's nothing to lose.
Right.
What about abuse?
It doesn't protect her. Well, there's no halacha particularly about if she's getting abused, the halachot that there are that she can demand, you know, she can go to the Beit Din and say, help me get a divorce. But there's no, you know, which, and then she would get her ketubah money, which in this woman, it's exactly what I was saying. It's a difficult situation because, maybe I didn't spell it out clearly enough, but because we want to encourage men to marry her, so we're saying, we're giving you financial incentive to marry her. In the end, she's not protected, right? The whole reason for ketubah is what Shari's saying, which is we don't want men to easily, flippantly divorce their wives, knowing that they have a financial commitment. On the other hand, it might be very nice to say we want to protect her and give her, you know, make sure that this marriage is going to be a valid marriage. But in the end, people, I assume what was going on is that people just weren't marrying them. And therefore, and then what's the issue if they don't marry them? Well, then these women get treated as hefker and then people abuse them. So it's a bad situation, right. And the rabbis are trying to balance this situation. And, you know, you could have said maybe we could make a much smaller amount of ketubah, that they could get a lower amount, but at least there'd be something. That might have been a better compromise situation. But here, they didn't choose that option. And they just said she doesn't get a ketubah.
It's almost like the men have meun with these women.
Right. It's true. The men can get out of it very easily. I mean, they still have to give her a get. Meun is much simpler than giving a get. But it's true. There's no financial commitment, which, as we know, is usually what motivates people.
So these women just aren't, but there's no protection from anything for them. I mean,
right.
Men can leave them and...
Right, right. On the other hand, they're more protected being with a man than they are on the street. That's the concept here. That while their husband might leave them, at least at this point that they're married, they're protected. And they're not on the streets and people are taking advantage of them. So it's a tricky situation. Okay. So now they're going to show us, how do we know a chereshet doesn't get a ketubah? D'tanya cheresh v'shoteh shenasu pikchot. Okay, if a cheresh or a shoteh marries a regular woman, af al pi shenitpakech hacheresh v'nishtafa shoteh, ein lahem alehem klum. Okay, they don't have a ketubah at all. In other words, a cheresh and a shoteh that married... and then became cured, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay, they don't have anything. Okay, here it's actually the flip case. It's the man, right? He doesn't need to give her a ketubah if he's a cheresh or a shoteh. That's because, why is that? Because his kinyan is not a kinyan, right? When he gets married, he's not a bardat. So if he were to give them a ketubah anyway, it's not valid. It's basically, right, a sale done by someone who's not clear-headed or is not a bardat is not a sale. Mm-hmm. So if he promised them a ketubah, they don't have anything on him. Ratzu l'kaimam, what if they want to stay married to him after the guy becomes cured? If they want to continue to be married, so then yesh lahem ketubah. Then he has to give them a ketubah at that point. That is, when he becomes cured, he basically gives them a ketubah. U'pikeach shenasah chereshet, o shoteh, what if, the flip case, right? Here's a pikeach. He marries, this is the case we need, a chereshet or a shota. Apilu katav la mea mana, ktubata kayemet. Mipnei sheratza lizok benechasav. Okay, what does this mean? Okay, he marries her, and he decides to give her a ketubah, okay? If he were to give her a ketubah of mea mana, what's mea mana? Mea mana is 100 zuz. Generally, a ketubah is 200 zuz. We're going to learn this all when we get to ketubah very soon. A ksuba is 200 zuz if you're a betula. But if you're not a betula, then you already get 100. And as it goes down to 100, your value, you're considered lower value. So the assumption here is if he's going to give her a ksuba, he'll probably, they're just giving an example anyway, but the assumption was he give her the lower value, mamana. If he does it, it's a good ksuba. Why is it a good ksuba as opposed to the chereshes that wasn't? Because he's a bardat, and he, right? Any, he can give her a gift if he wants. He can do anything he wants. He's a bardat. Anything he does is relevant. So what do they say here? You can derive from this b'raitim, and as he was willing to put his money on the line, he had no problem. But tama de ratza. But the reason is if he wants to, but ha lo ratza, ein la, right? The assumption is she doesn't have a ketubah otherwise, okay? We can assume from here that only if he wanted to does he, is his ketubah valid, but if he didn't want to, he doesn't have to give her ketubah. By the way, a ketubah is something, we're going to get to this in ketubot, that even if he doesn't give her a ketubah, I remember something about this. Hopefully I'm not remembering incorrectly, but what I recall is that even if he doesn't write a ketubah, the Beit Din forces him to pay up when they get divorced. You know, it's such a vaday thing that it's just part of it. Okay, and that's why in this case, it's if he writes her, then she gets it, but otherwise, not.
Because she's a cheresha.
Okay, and this is what proves to us, here's our brighter that proves that a cheresha doesn't get a ketubah. That's all they were looking for. So then they say, right, ain line, why? And the Gemara again explains, people won't marry her. Ihachi pikachat lecheresh litken laketubah. Deem kem, imani velo minsebe. So now they say the flip. The cheresh doesn't give the pikachat if a deaf guy, a deaf mute, marries a regular woman. What did we say? He can't give her a ketubah. Why? Because his kinyan is not a kinyan, right? But they say, if that's the case, though, what woman is going to want to marry him? Shouldn't we try to encourage women to marry deaf mutes? Okay? So now they say one of our absolute favorite lines, anti-feminist lines in the in the Gemara, Yoter misha ish roteli sa isha roteli nasei. In other words, women always want to get married. They'll be happy to marry even if it's a deaf mute. If it's a woman who can't find someone, she'll be happier to be married and marry a deaf mute than not to be married at all. Okay? So we're going to see this in a bunch of other times. It comes up in different wording also, but generally men have less right motivation to get married than women. Women more want to get married, and because of this, right, the truth is, even if you're feminist, you might even agree with this statement. I don't know if it's necessarily anti-feminist, but right, for sure at the time, you have to say it was 100% true. Even nowadays, you know, I think it's right.
It's true.
It is true. Exactly. It's true.
Women are ready much earlier than men are ready.
Yes. And women push. And women, you know, in general, certainly in those days, it was a financial thing. The woman needed someone to work and take care of her and, you know, financially provide for her. So a woman who wasn't married was a real, you know, and you see here not only that, but people took advantage then of women, you know.
Also seems quite easy for men to, at this time even to get sex outside of marriage.
Yes.
So what's the incentive?
Right, exactly. No, it's true. So for a woman, much more difficult. So now, Okay, so remember, a cheresh now doesn't give a ketubah, right? Because he can't. But here we're going to see a case where he does, but not exactly him. He was in the neighborhood of Rav Malkio. In Saba Itata, he married a woman. Rav Malkio married him off to a woman, okay? He made him a ketubah, okay? What did Rav Malkio do? He went into, this is what you call, right, an early stage of power of attorney. He went into the cheresh's money, and he said, I'm going to take 400 zuz, double the amount. That's a huge ketubah amount, okay? Double the amount of a regular ketubah, and I'm going to write this ketubah with your money for this woman, okay? Because now the Gemara is going to say, how could he do this, right? Amar Rava, he says, man chakim ka Rav Malkio, degava Rabbu. How smart was he? What a brilliant guy he was. Right? Because what did he see? He saw that this woman was willing to marry the cheresh, right? To incentivize her, gave her a big tuba. Kasavar, ilu ratza shibcha l'sham shom, milos avninale. If this guy wanted to buy a maidservant, would we not go into his money and buy him a maidservant? Right? He can't buy anything himself. So he can't acquire anything. So if he were to want something, wouldn't we go and buy it for him? Right? So therefore, kol sheken hacha diikatarte. So the assumption here is this woman can both serve him and be his wife. Okay?
Exactly. But this
is, here we get into more about the woman serving. Exactly. And the women are being made
to. But at first time you're like, oh, it's such a nice thing. But then...
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, so this woman can both serve him and be his wife. So all the more so, we should be able to spend money.
But at least they're recognizing that that's the reality and she gets paid for it.
Right.
two, okay.
Not exactly the most women Gemara here. Okay, high on women. But again, you have to always understand this in the context of the time, how when they were written and what was going on in those days. That's true. The women did all the work in the house. I mean, that's what was going on. Except for the very wealthy who had servants to do it. But if you didn't have servants, the women were doing all the work.
And that's changed.
Okay. Right. Good point. Okay. As much as we'd hope it would change, it's not totally changed. Amr Chia Barashi Amr Shmuel. Eshet Chiresh Ein Chayavin Aleha Asham Taloi. Okay. Here we got to get some facts on the ground. What is an Asham Taloi? An Asham Taloi is when you, okay, the classic case I'll give you, we're going to see it in the Gemara. You have two pieces of meat in front of you. You eat one of them. Okay. You go and you do your own thing, and then you find out someone says, oh, yeah, you know, I left those two pieces of meat out. You know, one was kosher and one wasn't kosher. And you're like, oh, no, I don't know. Did I eat the kosher one or did I eat the non-kosher one? I don't know. So what do? You bring an asham taloi. It's a korban that's taloi. It's dependent, right? You don't know if you did the aveira or not. So you're going to bring this type of korban that will, you know, basically, if I did it by mistake, this is, right, I'm bringing a korban. If in the end you find out that the piece of meat you ate for sure was the non-kosher one, your asham taloi didn't help you for that, and you have to then go bring, I think it's an asham vadai. Okay, then you have to bring another korban for what you did. But the asham taloi is into the interim, or in the event that you never find out, okay, right, that helps you for that issue. So now, let's say you have an eshet chiresh, and she goes, she's married to someone, okay? She's married to a deaf guy. Then, so she's an Eshet Ish. Then she goes and sleeps with someone else, right? Eshet Ish, okay? But it's Eshet Ish misafek, because is she, right? Is she asur, is she not? Is she married, is she not, right? She's kind of, so now they say, no, but you don't bring an asham taloi. Why? So, first they say, Lema Maseyale, right? The assumption is you don't bring an Asham Taloi because, okay, we don't really know why you don't bring an Asham Taloi. We're going to see. Because either you say it's not really a marriage at all, in which case you don't have to bring an Asham Taloi. You know, she's not really married to the guy. Or you say she is, but there's a different reason why you don't bring an Asham Taloi, okay? And that has to do with the dinim of when you bring an Asham Taloi. Like, is this case really comparable to the other case or not?
What happens?
So we'll see. Yeah.
What happens in Yibum? What happens if he dies and they don't have children?
Right, so that was this whole Mishnah. If a chereish and she's supposed to do yibum, right? Yeah. So it's yibum midurabanan. So again, that was the whole thing in the Mishnah. What if her sister is married to the yabam? In other words, in a regular case, so the yabam just marries her because why not? Or right? He can't do chalitza. Well, no. If he's a chereish, he could do chalitza. He could do chalitza with his wife, assuming she's not a chereshet. Right. So he could do yibum or a chalitza.
Okay.
But if there's an issue of a achot isha, like he's married to her sister, then we have to do chalitza to her. No, she can't do yibum. That was a part of the stuff the Mishnah was talking about. Okay, so now, lema meseyale. Maybe we should say that this Mishnah supports Shmuel and that this is his reasoning. Chamisha lo yitromo, Mishnah truma. There's five people who can't do truma, can't be merim the truma. Ve'im tarmu ein trumatam truma. And if they did, their truma is not truma at all. Meaning, these people are vadai, not barda'at. Okay, and they can't give truma. And one of them we're going to see is the chereish. If the chereish is not bardat, right, 100% not bardat, then what are we going to assume, right? If a chereish, his truma, right, is not truma because he's not a bardat, then also what are we going to say? That his marriage, right, his kiddushin, or nisuin, is not valid at all, in which case, right, there's no asham taloi because there's no even suffix, okay? Just like there's no suffix by the truma, there's no suffix by the kiddushin. That's going to be the first way of looking at it. So let's just read the Mishnah. Be'eluhen, cheresh, shote, v'katan. Okay, those are the three we've been talking about. Ve'hatorem etsheino shelo. If I go into your house and just take truma without letting you know, okay, I just go in and take truma from your stuff, that's not truma because it's your property. I, you know, can't do that. So it's not true. Okay? Even if the you told Novei Kochavim to do it, and Novei Kochavim's truma isn't good truma. Ain't trumato truma. So now they say, no, you don't have to assume that that's why he said the Kiddushin, you don't bring a Nasham Taloy on this kind of a marriage, on the Eshed Isha like this. You could say that he disagrees. Okay, we're going to learn now that there's a machloket about the truma. Okay, the Tana of the Mishnah said, Ein trumatan truma vadai, right? There's no suffix at all. You have to remember, to say that there's no truma is a chiddush, because if you had any sort of suffix, truma is asur midoraita, a zar who eats truma is, you know, is punished by mita bidei shamayim. We're talking about something serious here. So to say that it's not even truma at all means you don't have to treat it l'chumra as truma. That's like that means it really is nothing. So now we see that there's an opposite opinion, which is the Amar ka Rabbi Elazar. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Chumat Cheresh Lo Tetzei L'chulim, Mipneshu Safek. Okay, we treat it as a Safek. So now the Gemara says, well, Isvira like Rabbi Elazar, Asham Tolei Nami L'chayev. If we treat it as a Safek, then he should be Chayev Asham Tolei. So how could you hold that he holds like Rabbi Elazar? So they say, no, you could say the Be'inan Chaticha Mishtei Chatichot. What does that mean? The case that I gave was a case of two pieces of meat, right? He doesn't act. He eats one of them. He doesn't eat the other. We don't know which one did eat. That's a certain kind of suffix. The suffix here is he did a marriage. It's not like he married one of two women and we don't know is she deaf or not, right? Yeah. Okay? He married a deaf woman. We know for a fact. He married a deaf woman. The question is, what does the halacha say about it? Is she muteret or is she asur, right? Is she an eshed ish or is she not an eshed ish? Do we count the marriage or not? That's not the same kind of suffix as what did he actually, what were the facts on the ground, right? It's more, what does the halacha say about it? Those are two different sfeikot. So an asham taloi, according to this, would only be when it's a chaticha mishtei chaticha. That's the case for asham taloi. You don't bring an asham taloi when you don't know is the halacha like this or is the halacha like that, okay? That's a different thing. So therefore, they say he could hold like Rabbi Elazar when it comes to the truma, that it is suffik truma, but when it comes to the Asham Talmai, he's not chaya because it's a suffik lahalacha and not a suffik right b'mitziyud or like what actually happened. So then they say, wait, if he's going to hold like Rabbi Elazar though, me by Rabbi Elazar chaticha mishtei chaticha, does Rabbi Elazar say that the only way you're chayav in Asham Talmai is chaticha mishtei chaticha? But how Tanya, doesn't Rabbi Elazar himself say, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Koi chayavim al chabo asham taloi. A koi is an animal. They're not sure exactly. Is it a water buffalo or maybe some other kind of animal? It's not clear. Some sort of animal that there was a sefek, whether it was a chaya or a behema. Now, a chaya, you can eat the chaylev, and a behema, you can't eat the chaylev. So basically, what does he say? A koi, if you eat a koi, and we don't know you chayav on the chaylev or not, and you ate the chaylev, you have to bring an asham taloi. So here you see, sefek li'inyan halacha, you do bring an asham taloi. And that's Rabbi Elazar, who we just said. Now the obvious answer is going to be, sevek Rabbi Elazar b'chada u'palagalei b'chada. He agrees with Rabbi Elazar about his opinion about the truma, but he doesn't agree about his opinion about when or not when you bring an asham taloi. He thinks when it comes to an asham taloi, you only bring it on chaticha mishtei chaticha. So he just disagrees about the definition of an asham taloi, but he agrees with him about his truma and its sefek. Okay, so then that explains Shmuel why he says in Eshe Cheresh Ein Chayvin Alav Asham Badoi. He still thinks it's a safek, but he says you're just not chayv in Asham Talo because that's not we don't bring an Asham Talo on Sfeikot of Halacha. Okay, so therefore we in the end we don't know whether Shmuel holds that it's like zero, right? It doesn't count at all, like the opinion about the truma of a Cheresh is nothing. Or whether we hold that it's a suffix and just you don't bring an Asham Vadoi on Asham Talo on Sfeikot. So that's we're left with we don't really know what Shmuel held. We just bring both options. Amar of Chiyah Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel. Eshet Cheresh Chayvin Alav Asham Talo. Sorry, I missed the important words. Ika de Amre. Okay, now there's a whole different version of the sugya. Okay, we had Shmuel saying, right, Amar of Chiyah Bar Ashi saying in the name of Shmuel, then Eshet Cheresh doesn't bring an Asham Talo. Now we're going to have the flip sugya, okay? There's a different masorah about what he said. Amar Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel, Eshet Cheresh Chayavim Ala Asham Taloi. You do bring an Asham Taloi. Meitivei, now we're going to bring a koshi from the Mishnah, right? If the Mishnah says, Ein Trumatam Truma, then how could you bring an Asham Taloi? Isn't it clear that she's not an Eshet Ish? So chamisha lo yitromu, right? And then they don't even bother to bring in the rest of the Mishnah. We know that means cheresh doesn't bring a truma. So then they say very simply, oh no, sabar la karabi elazar, right? He holds it, it's safek, and since it's safek, you bring an asham taloi. Okay? Mm-hmm. By Ravashi. Ravashi now asks, my tamad Rabbi Elazar, mifsha pshita le. Okay, so now they're going to say, when Rabbi Elazar says that the truma of a cheresh is a safek truma, okay? What's his reason? What is he thinking exactly? Is he thinking that mifsha pshita le de cheresh data klishtahi umi umisapkale idate tziluta ilav date tziluta ula olam chada data? Okay, here we're going to have two different tfisot, and here I want to get into a little bit about marriage nowadays with these kind of people, okay? With people with, you know, disabilities or sort of mental issues. Okay, we're going to get into this now. So there's a question about, do we assume that the cheresh has a weakened intelligence? Okay, that's what it means, klishta, weakened. And we just don't know, is it, siluta is clear. Is it clear enough, dot, to count it, or is it not clear enough? In other words, right, there's no such thing as this guy has zero dot, right, or 100% dot. He's somewhere in the middle. So where do we put him on the scale? Is that the issue? But the point is, he's always stable. We assume that when he gets married or when he gets divorced or whatever he does, right, in the time of marriage, the time of divorce, right, here's marriage and here's divorce, okay? At both times, he's got the same mental capabilities, okay? Or, Dilma, pshita le didate klushta, v'lav data tzilutahi. It's obvious that his dad is weakened, and he wasn't clear-headed. Or is it that sometimes he's got like unstable. Sometimes he can think very clearly, and sometimes he can't. And then we don't know, when he got married, was he at the high point or was he at the low point? It's a very interesting question, right? In terms of seeing people with disabilities and, you know, where they, sometimes they might be able to make certain decisions and not make other decisions, right? Maybe you could even say, maybe he could understand the concept of marriage, but maybe not divorce, right? So that's the whole question. Like, how do we get this person into marriage? How do we get them out of marriage? Can we assume that if they got into marriage, they were in a good part of, not, you know, a higher state, but maybe now they're not? So how do you know? And is that his question about how to treat them? So then they say, L'may nafkamina, what's the relevance of whether, right? So now they're going to say, which I already kind of said, L'hotzi ishto beget, okay? I'amart chadadata hu. So if you say he's always stable, well then, right? Just like we said with the, do you remember we said with the chalitza? If the chalitza of a cheresh, what did we say? He can't speak, or a cheresha can't speak, but since they got married birimiza without speaking, so they can do chalitza without speaking, okay, birimiza. So the same thing here. Since they're not totally same, but they're the same level, so just like they got into marriage, they can get out of marriage, okay? V'iyamart itim chalim v'itim shoteh, kidushe matzi mekadesh, b'kirushe lo matzi megaresh. Okay, and then they say, my teku, and they don't have an answer. Okay, but they're saying, if it's ups and downs, so we don't know, did the marriage take place at the up or at the down? If it took place at the down, well, then we can assume that now you can divorce her, even if you're at the down. But if it took place at the up, we don't know where you are now, right? Maybe you're at the down, and then you can't divorce her because you don't have the same dot you had then. So that's his question, and that's the question, how to understand the suffix, and then they don't really answer it. Now, there's a whole discussion, and it was actually interesting, last Shabbat I was in Shul, and I saw that Beit Hillel has these things, the alunim they come out with, and they had a whole article on this topic, and I read it over last night more carefully. I tried to read it until last week, but I didn't have enough time, and then I forgot to take it home. But anyway, found it online. If you're interested, you can go on Beit Hillel's website. They have a whole article about people with mugbalut sikhlit hitpatchutit, okay? How would you say it exactly? Mental delays, okay? So now, how do they develop mental delays? Can they get married nowadays? Can you have a marriage or not? And so they say, they try to measure whether this person has an understanding. If the person has an understanding of what marriage is, then you should be able to enable them to have a halachic marriage. And they bring up a lot of things in our sugya. Anyway, it's an interesting article. I don't have time to go into it.
Because remember, we said a 6-year-old.
Right, that even a 6-year-old can have a marriage.
So
exactly.
If they have the capacity.
Right.
A 6-year-old.
But nowadays, though?
Right. Right, it's a little tough to say a six-year-old.
Presumably, you have to go by the
But there also, there was the assumption. There was the assumption, though, that she would get old enough to, right. to understand what marriage is. In this case, where you're not going to ever get there, you know, the question is, where do you hold? Anyway, it's a very interesting topic, and, you know, again, Dr. Yomashir, we don't have time to go into it, but if you're interested, you can look at their article. It's really, I thought it was a very good article. Okay. Nishtatet. Okay, this is if she... Okay, now, one second. Let's just go back and find the line that this is in the Mishnah. This is... over here. sorry. Too long a mission to find it within the Mishnah. Right, okay. Pikach shenasa pikachat. Okay, he marries, right? They're both in good shape. Okay, and then she becomes a shote. Okay? Lo yotzi. He can't divorce her. So now why can't he divorce her? Now you have to remember, this is a very important premise to remember, very difficult one, but according to Torah law and rabbinic law, a man can divorce a woman against her will. Okay? So in theory, you shouldn't need, whether she's a shoter or not, he should be allowed to divorce her. Okay, so the Gemara is going to ask, so why can't he divorce her? Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom, okay, besides, thankfully, for Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom. One thing he did was he said that a man can't marry more than two wives. Another thing he said, more than one wife, sorry. He can't marry two wives, thank you. He can't marry two wives, or obviously more. Another thing he said, you can't open people's mail, okay. Another thing he said that was very important is that a woman can't get divorced against her will, okay? Now, because this is why Mesuravei get are in a different situation than Mesuravot get, because Torah law and rabbinic law, a woman can get divorced against her will. So if a woman decides, I don't want to get a divorce, rabbinic and Torah law, she can get divorced. It's only because of Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom that you can't divorce her without her accepting the get. Now, what happens? So it's true you have to give her the get, but she doesn't necessarily need to accept it or you know, she could be against the fact that you're giving her a get. But Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom came in and said you have to. So nowadays, you can have a Mesurav get, but because it's only a Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom, you can get what's called a Hecher Meir Rabbanim, where if you get 100 rabbis to sign that this woman should give a get to this man, should accept the get from this man, what they do is they don't give him a get. They don't force her to take the get, but they say, we're allowing you to go against Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom and marry somebody else.
So basically, she doesn't get a get.
Well, she didn't accept the get, so no, she doesn't get a get. But he can go, it was her fault. I mean, it's not, if she wants the get, she can go accept it if she wants. But this woman is not accepting the get. And they can get, it's not so easy to get Hetcher Meir Rabbanim. Depending on the situation, you might not find rabbis who are going to sign on it for you. If she's not giving it because she's got good legitimate reasons not to give the get, well, then the rabbis won't sign it. But if she doesn't, or the rabbis don't really care, and they care about the guy, which often happens, they'll sign it and leave her, you know.
That's happened, though.
That's happened. It's happened in history where they sign this Hetcher Meir Rabbanim.
For
sure, Chabad, you can't do the opposite. But I want to explain to you that's why we can't do the opposite. Because a get given without the man's, without him, is not a get. So that's why. It's a problem. Okay, so now, so here, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah Shotam Itgareshet. Okay, she could, you can divorce her. But Midi Dehava Pikacha Baal Korcha. Okay, just like a pikachat, you can divorce someone against her will. Okay? Umatam amru ena migureshet. Here we see the same thing we saw before. Shelo yinhaguba minhag hefker. We don't want to put this shota on the street and men are going to just take advantage of her, right? She's not clear-minded to protect her body, basically, herself. So now they're going to say, well, in which case are we talking about? What does it mean she's a shota? What are her issues? Hey chidami. Ile madi yodat lishmor yitavi yodat lishmor atzma. If she knows how to watch over her get, she could, right, just like we saw the Tanakh of Shomer Kedusheha, right? She knew to be able to keep the money. So if she knows how to keep her get and to watch over her own body, well, then we're not worried about Minak Hefker. That can't be the case. Ela de'en yodat lishmor lo gita v'lo atzma. If she doesn't know either, so Dvar Torah shotam mitgareshet. In other words, according to the halacha, she can get mitgareshet. V'ha amar deber b'yanai. No. In this case, they're asking, Dvar Torah Shotam Itgareshet? Well, we said that she can get divorced against her will. In this case, if she can't be Shomer Logi Tavalo Atzma, how could she be Mitgareshet Me'at Torah? V'hamar, well, it's true, it has to be, it can't be Baal Korcha. V'hamar, debei Rabbi Yana, it has Rabbi Yana taught, v'natam biyada, mi sheyesh lo yad l'garesh atzma, yatztazo she'en la yad l'garesh atzma. It says you have to put it in, and I specifically said before, you do have to give it to her. And to give it to her means she has a yad to accept it. And if this woman can't even keep her own get, then it's not considered that she has a yad to accept it. Okay? She doesn't even have a kli with which to accept, right? Not like a yad physical. She has a physical hand, but she can't really accept it because she doesn't understand what it means. B'tana deber Rabbi Yishmael, v'shachami beto, misha mishalcha ve'ena chozeret. Okay? Here we have another. Truth is, right, I wonder how they explain this yad, if this really relates directly to the shota, but this one really does. Then the pasuk says, v'shachami beto, misha mishalcha ve'ena chozeret, yatztazo shemishalcha ve'chozeret. It has to be someone that you can send from your house and she won't come back. But if you send a shota out of your house and you say, I want to divorce you, and she has no understanding what divorce is, she'll come back tomorrow. She'll say, you know, well, aren't we married? Yeah. Right? So basically, if she has no understanding at all, and this what I like about this whole sugya is, right, you think, they give these categories, katan, klera, shota, as if like, lump everybody into one category. But here they're showing that there's clearly different levels, which I think is kind of advanced for that time. I think nowadays everybody knows everyone's different, right?
Yeah.
But in those days, I think they kind of just lumped people together. So here they're saying, right, it depends. So if it's that case, well, then she wouldn't even be migoresha d'oraita. So they say, lo tzricha, it must be the in-between. What's going to be the obvious in-between? Diodat l'shmor gita ve'en yodat l'shmor atzma. She can accept her get. She has a yad to accept the get, right? She has intelligence. She understands. You sent her out of the house. She's not coming back. But ena yodat l'shmor atzma. But she can't protect herself from men taking advantage of her body, basically. So there in Dvar Torah, shotam itkareshet. Daha yodat l'shmor gita. V'amar Rabbanan lo livka. But Rabbanan say, don't divorce her. Shelo yinaguba mina kefka. Amar Abaye. Okay, now we're going back to what Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Dvar Torah Shotam Mitgareshet, but they said Shelo Yinaguba Mina Kefker. Abaye says we can also learn this. Daikanami Dekatane Gabe Dida. It says in the Mishnah Nishtatet Lo Yotzi. Right. What does it say? If she's a Shota, right? Then if she becomes a Shota once she's married, she Lo Yotzi. He can't divorce her. But by him, when it says if he becomes a shota, right? He gets married, he's pikach. Then he becomes a shota. What's the problem? Lo yotzi olamit, it says. Okay? He can never, ever divorce his wife. Why can he never, ever divorce his wife? Because he has no dad. So he can't divorce, right? So, olamit. Why does it say she can't get divorced, right? But it doesn't say olamit. Therefore, they're saying, there it says olamit by him, because his issue is a doraita issue. Whereas her issue is only a derabanan issue. And that's why it just says lo yotzi, and it doesn't say lo yotzi olamit. Okay. Let's just go from, we'll go to the next two dots. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, now we have this halacha in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why? Mipnei ma isha shenitcharsha yotzah, v'ish shenitcharesh eino motzi. Okay, why can a woman who's deaf get divorced, okay, but a man can't divorce if he's deaf? So they say, again, the same thing we just said, Eino doma ha'isha migaresh li'isha mitgareshet, she'isha yotza l'rtzona v'shelo l'rtzona, v'isha eino motzi ela l'rtzono, right? The man can only give a get willingly, whereas the woman can get a get even if she's not willing. Ibai lehu Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, okay, they ask, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri shita, ish pshita le v'isha kamibai le, is which one is he really asking about? Is the ish case obvious to him, but the isha is what he's asking about? In other words, why is it, right, it's obvious to him that a man can't divorce, but why is it that a woman can get divorced? Odilma, or is it that the woman was obvious to him that she can get divorced, even if she's deaf, but ish kamibayle, but he's asking, but what about the man? Why can't he divorce? Okay, it's kind of a weird question. I don't know so much what the relevance is. The question is, which one was more obvious than the other? Tashma, let's learn it from here. Mitaka amrule eino doma. When they answered him, they said, eino doma ha'isha migaresh li'isha mitgareshet. Remember, he asked this question and they answered it. So they say, what was he asking? So now they say, eino doma, listen to the words, ha'isha migaresh li'isha mitgareshet. The man who divorces is not like the woman who gets divorced. In other words, they're saying that man is not like the woman. That means that the woman is the obvious halacha, and the man was the one he was asking about. You follow from the words, right? Mm-hmm. So then they say, no, adrabah, you could say the opposite. Midika amrale, avzo kayotseba, shmamina isha kamibayale. Okay, what does that mean? You could say the opposite, which is that afterwards, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada says, a chereshet, that her father marries her, can go out with a get. And then they said to him, avzo kayotebo. This is just like the other case. And his case was all about a woman. So they're saying, just like you asked before about the woman, and we told you the woman is, right? The woman can get divorced against her will. So likewise, we're going to say the same thing for the woman here. In other words, clearly the woman was the issue he was asking about, not the man. So there's two different opinions here. So then they say, Ella, you can explain it like this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'divreim ka'amar lehu. What does he say? L'didi ki hechi de'ish lo matzi megarish, isha nami lo megarish. According to me, I don't even think a man can be megarish. So I don't think a man cheresh can be megarish, and I don't think a woman. I think just like a man can't be megarish, a woman also can't be megarish. Okay? I think that even a cheresh can't be divorced. But lididchu, but according to you, who think that a woman could be divorced, maishna isha o maishna ish, and then amrule eno domeha isha migaresh li isha mitgaresh. And that's why they said it's not the same. Because they were just trying to say, right, not to say that one was learning out from the other, but basically saying, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself thought, okay, this is the way the Gemara is understanding him after, he himself thought that neither one can get divorced.
Yeah.
But he was saying, according to the rabbis who think that the woman get divorced, what's the reason? And then they come and say, they're not the same. And that's what they were trying to say, okay? And then you can't really derive from it either which way. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we're going to get to the next part about Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, okay, what he said in the Mishnah.